morning. Once again, I'm not Kara. I heard there was a big party here last night, so I'm not sure how awake and alert many of you are. I'm not Kara. My name is Kate. Kara has started her sabbatical as of probably, I think, midnight last night. Maybe 2 in the morning this morning. We don't know when she went to bed. And I will be here not all of the Sundays in Lent, but most of them, and not all of the services in Holy Week, but most of those as well. I was here 2 weeks ago, and when I was here 2 weeks ago, I shared with you that I got married this past fall. Thank you. Yeah, I'm still that enthusiastic about it. But I will tell you that, you know, as many of you in this room know, marriage, and also parenthood, I'm guessing, is a passage into one of the most profoundly frustrating, I guess, moments of human experience, which is when you're talking to someone who you love, and you think you're really connecting, and they're making lots of eye contact, and then 15 minutes later, it's like they haven't heard a single word that you said. My wife's not here today, so I get to say that. I mention this because I was very struck in living and breathing and thinking about the text we have today from Matthew by how it is really all about listening, which seems so incredibly simple. This text takes place after Peter has acknowledged that Jesus is the Christ, the first mention of that in the scripture, in kind of the chronological narrative. Jesus takes the four disciples, kind of his A-team, up the mountain, and they see this amazing pyrotechnic show, God really pulling out all of the stops. There's dazzling white clothes, there's an anointed face, there's Moses and Elijah, it's a cast of thousands. And then the only thing that they get told to do is to listen. That's it. Later in the story, they'll be told to obey, to obey, to obey. Later in the story, they'll be told to go forth and make disciples of all the nations. But right now, they don't even get to commemorate it with, you know, Peter wants to build a couple of dwellings for the three men that they see. They don't even get a commemorative set of tablets the way that Moses does when he goes up the mountain. They really just get told, this is my son. Listen to him. This text is a rich and layered one. It deserves far more commentary than I'm going to give it today. Jesus is posed between Moses and Elijah, the two great prophets of his Jewish tradition, to give him some legitimacy and to reinforce just how big, how cataclysmic his preaching is. Many who read this text also think that his robes are dazzling white, not because we're supposed to view him, you know, like a priest on Sunday, but because it's a foreshadowing of what he would be buried in, and that his face is gleaming, transfigured before the disciples because it's a foreshadowing of what he will look like on Easter Sunday. This is kind of a dress rehearsal for Holy Week in one basic scene. This is why, of course, we have this particular text to take us from Epiphany into Lent. Epiphany, that season that comes after the wise men and after the baby at Christmas, is full of these miracles, these manifestations of Jesus. We frequently read St. John's texts because he talks about the signs that make it apparent that Jesus is the Christ. We begin with the baptism of Jesus, where another voice says from the cloud, "This is my beloved, my son." We're up on the height of the miracles at this moment, and Jesus says it's now time to go down into the valleys, which is what it can feel like when we enter into Lent, a season that for most of us is one of discipline and fasting, a giving up or taking on. I hope that many, if not all of you, will take on some kind of spiritual practice. It really could be anything. You might spend an extra 10 minutes a day in study or in prayer. You might give up a favorite treat. You might take on a practice of charity in the world or make a sacrificial gift of some kind. Some kind of spiritual practice which you'll keep from Ash Wednesday to Holy Saturday. Lent, though, is 40 days long, which can be confusing if you look at the calendar. It's because it doesn't include Sundays. Every Sunday, like today, is a Feast of the Resurrection. It's like a mini dress rehearsal for Easter. And this means that the real work of Lent, just like the real work of the disciples, is not in the high and holy days on the top of the mountain, but down in the valley, in the everyday journey of life. Those 40 days of Lent are not the Sundays where you get yourself up for church, although I do think there's legitimacy to, if your spiritual practice this Lent is just you're going to get to church every single Sunday, that's a great spiritual practice and sometimes a big challenge, right? But the real work of this season of Lent is those other 40 days. We go down off the mountain and live among everything that's going on in the world. And I'd like to suggest that this snippet of Matthew is offering us a way to frame our entrance into Lent this year. I don't want to spoil anything for you, but I did read ahead to the Holy Week and Easter text. Great, it's a very spectacular finish, right? We will pull out all the stops for you and do all the pyrotechnics at the Easter Vigil. Get your attention in a real profound way. And at the end of our journey of Lent into Easter, Jesus will say, "Go forth and tell what you have seen and what you have heard." Our duty as Christians, especially in that season after Easter, is to go forth and be God's witnesses in the world, speaking and showing, not only with our lips, but with our lives, for you morning prayer folks, the glory of God, to show forth the kingdom and to give forth our testimony of what God has done in our lives and is doing in the world around us. But this passage reminds us to speak, to have a testimony. First, we must listen. To go out and be witnesses in the world, first we have to be witnesses in our own lives to what God is speaking. I'd like to suggest to you that we're reading this text as kind of the gateway, the entrance into Lent, to remind us that Lent is really about listening to Jesus in our own lives, in Scripture, and in the world around us. Not the kind of listening that's just, you know, sitting passively, but the active kind of listening, the really engaged kind of listening. The kind of listening that takes place, not like St. Peter, right, where you're thinking ahead to what you're going to do or say in response to what you're witnessing, but the kind of listening that is really just about being in the moment, hearing and seeing what is going on around you, and absorbing it into your very being. So whatever it is that you give up or take on for Lent this year, I hope that that practice allows you to listen. I hope that it's something that gives you more space and time in your day, or more space and time in your brain. I wonder, if you have that space and time, if there is silence and pause in the rhythm of your day, what you will hear? What could that listening do? How could it change your relationship with God if you could truly listen to Jesus? If you truly listened and heard what he might be saying to you? Again, there'll come a time when at the end of the great 40 days plus Sundays of Lent, when we have listened to Jesus, when we will be told to go and to speak, to give out our own testimony. But before we can go out and do that, we do need to listen. We first have to become a witness in our own life so we can give forth our witness in the world. So today, as we do our dress rehearsal for Lent, I hope you take a moment to practice, to really practice the kind of deep, affirmative listening that should bring us into deeper relationship with God, with Jesus, and with one another. Listen for what Jesus could be saying to you today. Get up and do not be afraid. Amen.